Today's teaching text is from Matthew 13. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. The word of God for the people of God.
Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. Would you open our hearts, our minds right now to receive it? Sustain your servant and speak through your unworthy instrument. It is in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. So this is the setting of chapter 13. Jesus just had himself a long day. He's had a lot of debates with the Pharisees. He's been engaging with a large group of people, right? He's healing the sick and speaking to the crowd all day. And people still want to hear more from him. And back in the day, in their culture, teacher figure gets to sit during the lecture, and everyone else just gathers around him. And as we can imagine, maybe during the day, the crowd was just so big that Jesus didn't even have a place to sit. And somebody came up with this brilliant idea. "Hey, Jesus, why don't you sit in that little boat and we just put you on the water? We'll put you on the water and everybody else will just listen to you, you know, on the shore." So that's exactly what they did. And perhaps while Jesus is sitting on that little fisher's boat on the blue water, he observes the crowd who's eager to hear from him. And he then looks to the hill and he sees a farmer sowing seeds into the field from a distance. Unlike today's preachers, we have to do hours of studying for the sermon we are about to preach. Jesus, in his divine wisdom, just grabs whatever he sees and makes a point out of it. I wish I could do that. In the parable of the sower, the soil is the only variable. The sower and the seed remain the same in all four scenarios. Because the soil received the seed, we can also see all these four scenarios as the four fates of the same seed under the condition of the soil. Later on, upon the request of the disciples, Jesus provides the interpretation of the parable. Therefore, today we'll see these four types and what they represent according to Jesus side by side. In the first scenario, the seed got scattered on the hard path and they got eaten up by birds. The farmland in Palestine is very, very different than what we have in the Midwest. Back then, the plots of land, they are not fenced off. Right, so the farmers will just walk around their land over and over again, right, to create these little paths. And these little paths, not only serve as pathways, but they also serve the purpose as boundary lines to separate one man's land from another's. As you can imagine, these paths must have been walked on so often, therefore very, very hardened. And Jesus says that some of these seeds, they were accidentally thrown on these hardened paths instead of being buried in good soil. So they are exposed to outside elements. And one of these elements was hungry birds. So the seeds ended up being a free meal for the birds. So what's the problem? Jesus explains it in verse 19, that when someone hears the message of the kingdom of heaven but doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in our heart. That is scenario number one. From Jesus' explanation, we learn a couple of things. The soil is our heart. Today, when we speak of heart, we think of an instrument of emotions and feelings. But in Jesus' culture, in the Jewish culture and the biblical sense, heart is so much more than that. It communicates wisdom, rationality, and more than that, oftentimes, it is seen as the core of a person's being. So when something goes into your heart, it means that you have fully embraced it and you have fully accepted it, and it has become part of your identity. So the soil is our heart. The seed is the message of the kingdom of heaven. The same parable also appears in the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of Luke. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verse 11, it plainly tells us that the seed is the word of God. In other words, the seed is the gospel. So the soil is our heart, and the seed is the word of God, which is the gospel. The seed was given but not received in scenario number one. In Matthew's mind, understanding is the same as receiving. In other words, the gospel is being preached but not received, not being understood. When the word is presented, it's being preached, not grabbing a hold of it, that is assisting the devil to do his work. Remember, the birds came and ate up all the seeds. I particularly remember my former landlords. They are just amazing people, very kind, generous, and helpful. As a matter of fact, they both actually grew up in the Catholic Church. But now they believe in the universe. I had one roommate who was also a Christian, and he tried many times to share the gospel with our landlords. But every time when he tried, our landlords would just wave and say, "Thank you, we're good." And I was thinking, it's probably just a matter of methodology, or they probably just didn't like you enough. Let me give it a try. So before I moved out, I stopped by their place, and they invited me. Right, so they made me tea. Like I said, they're very nice people. And we struck up a conversation about my future. And I told them that I wanted to serve God. I wanted to preach the word of God. I'm not good at it, but that's what I'm called to do. Right, so as soon as I brought up the word Jesus, they were almost as if they were offended by it. They were so turned off. So they did the very same thing they had done to my roommate. They waved at me and they said, "Thank you, we're good." So we can all think of people like my former landlords who grew up going to church but decided to walk away from Christianity. You tell them about Jesus and they respond, "I know all about that stuff." And they brush you off. They may have heard of the name of Jesus, but do they really know Jesus though? They think that there are good people and good morals. They're not enough. The first soil traditionally has been labeled as the calloused soil. And callous gets developed when there has been an open wound. The callous is there to protect the tender flesh. So I wonder if people who identify with the calloused soil have ever experienced any church hurt or church abuse. Oh yes, there is such thing as church hurt. and church hurt really hurts. It hurts enough to harden someone's heart. If that is you, I am really sorry about that awful experience you've had with your church experience. But hear me out. Not all the churches are the same. There certainly are bad apples out there. But we're not perfect. Only Jesus is. If you're open to it, please come to talk to any of us on the stage today. We would like to hear you out. And maybe, just maybe, we could help you and get you to a place where you're hardened, where your heart doesn't need to be hardened any longer. In the second scenario, it looks really promising at first. The seed has been sown and the plant is growing, and perhaps you even get to see some leaves or the signs of budding. But while your hopes are still up, the plant withers and dies. So what is the problem here? Jesus explains it is because the soil is too shallow. It does not have enough room for the seed to grow deep roots in it. The second batch of seed did lay in soil, but unfortunately, it's just a thin layer of soil. What's underneath is hard bedrock. That thin layer of soil only has so much to offer. And once the moisture that was once there gets scorched by the heat of the sun, it will have nothing more to offer. The plant will just die of dehydration. Jesus later explains that the second soil represents the people who actually received the word, but unlike the first soil, who did not receive the word at all. The problem is the receptivity from the second soil is more of a quick emotional response. And when hard things happen, they just shrivel. The first soil is called the callous soil. The second soil is the casual soil. When life is good, following Jesus is easy. But what about when life is not so good? Are you still committed to following Jesus? Let me share with you my own personal story. And many of you know my story already. I was born and raised in China, and I came to the U.S. in 2013 to pursue my education in Moody Bible Institute. I grew up in the church, so I had my fair share of exposure to Western Christianity. But nothing really beats my experience, my firsthand experience at Moody. My freshman sophomore year, I absolutely loved my lectures, except the ones that I had to get up early for. I loved chapels. I loved worshiping with my friends on rooftops. I loved it. Right, so back then my mentality was, I just can't wait to get all the training I needed so I can get out of this place and serve the Lord. Doesn't it sound wonderful? Then the fire grew smaller and smaller as the time went by. I was becoming more and more aware of the reality that the bills need to get paid, assignments are due, and I was still single. While everyone else was either graduating, getting jobs, or getting engaged. School bills, assignment deadlines, were loneliness, and I thought those were tough, and they were indeed before that season. Then in May 2019, I was struck by a car while crossing the street. Again, many of you know my story already, so I'm going to spare you the sappy details. In short, it is all by God's grace and mercy that I am standing in front of you all today. While I was in recovery, I scoffed at my old self. I thought life was hard just because of school bills, assignments, and loneliness. And don't get me wrong, those can be hard. Yet, as someone who's gone through the valley of the shadow of death, they just don't seem to be as hard as they used to be. So at that point, the fire for the Lord that I had back in my freshman year, sophomore year, that was long gone. All right. So not only so, I was ready to walk away from the God that I loved. All of a sudden, it was my turn to wrestle with the ageless question. If God is so good, why does he allow bad things to happen to good people? The point of the story is, I was once that shallow soil. The seed has its roots in me without the needed depth. So what ended up happening was, when hurricane or storm came around, this poor little plant was easily uprooted. The meaning is, when life happened, when there are enough hard things, the person without a deep enough commitment to the Word of God will be more than ready to throw the towel. In the third scenario, we have the seed that fell among the thorns. The problem here is that the seed has been received, but since it's a different scenario, it is not the same case as scenario number two, which means that the seed this time has enough room to develop depth for its root beneath the soil. But the problem is what's happening above the soil, literally too much stuff. The seed has found itself a very strong opponent, the thorny bushes. And these are sturdy, robust plants, not easy to get defeated in the struggle of life. And they will compete for the nourishment of the soil, and they will win. Jesus explains that these thorny bushes represent the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth. In a broader sense, that the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth are both distractions for a Christian life. Clearly, there are two types of distractions. You can worry on micro scale, such as what should I wear on the Tuesday outing? Or worry on macro level, you know, such as the Ukraine-Russia war. In either case, those are anxieties and negative distractions. The positive distraction, wealth, is not any better. Someone used to describe it this way, that we buy things we don't need with the money we don't have to impress the people we don't like. But please caution that it is not the world or wealth that is called evil here. We're not to blame the things, but the corrupt mind. For it is possible to be rich and not to be deceived, and to be in this world and not to be choked with its cares. So the third soil represents the people who always have so much going on. They worry about bad things happening, or they are too concerned about wealth. They don't have room for the word. The first soil is the callous soil, and the second is the casual soil. The third is the crowded soil. And finally, let's take a look at the last soil, the only soil that produces fruit, and it is described with an elegant simplicity. Here, almost as if Jesus purposefully leaves out all the prerequisites of the practices for good farming, such as irrigation, fertilizers, or wetting, etc. All that is said is the seed goes into soil and incredible harvest comes out of it. I believe what Jesus is trying to emphasize is that what matters the most is the gospel heard. Everything else matters less. Being a fruitful Christian is really not that complicated. It is not a matter of hard discipline or taking difficult spiritual steps or particular techniques. It's simply a matter of receiving the sole object, the Word of God. You can leave all the rest to the one who distributes the seed, God himself. We can all picture a tiny sprout breaking itself out of a hard shell to grow into a big green plant that is full of life. The seed is powerful. To this point, let me tell another quick story. There was a Moody professor by the name of Christopher Yuan, Y-U-A-N. You can look him up on YouTube. He's shared his amazing personal testimonies all over the internet. Yuan was a promiscuous, I always have a hard time pronouncing that word. Anyhow, you know what I mean. He was a drug dealer. He was a gay man practicing homosexuality back then. Before he became a Christian, he was dealing drugs and he was practicing homosexuality. When he was thrown in jail for drug dealing after doing a physical, he found out that he was HIV positive. He was absolutely devastated. To him, such diagnosis was worse than a life sentence. One night, laying on his bed, he looked up and saw someone had scribbled on the bunk and read, "If you're bored, read Jeremiah 29:11." Later, Yuan was able to obtain a copy of Bible from the chaplain, and he read it over and over again. And he was saved when he was still in jail. By the grace of God, he was able to overcome his drug addiction and his sinful lifestyle. Obviously, Yuan's story is way longer than that. Once again, you can look him up yourself online. But my point is this. The word of God is powerful, and it literally changes lives. In today's passage, we have seen four types of soil that represent four types of people's responses to the word of God. We have the calloused soil, the casual one, and the crowded one, and the one that bears fruit. We're told that the only soil that is productive, it does not just yield a little bit of fruit. It's 100 times, 60 times, 30 times of what was sown. For those who identify with the callous soil, I encourage you to take a step of faith and open yourself up a little bit and take the seed in and try it. The word says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." There is free seed sample. Give it a try. If it is good, you have found yourself an eternal treasure. For those who are in the same group as the casual soil, we have ourselves a brief moment of glory, haven't we? The problem is our soil is not deep enough. One way to grow the kind of depth we need is to really invest time in the Word on our personal time. Collective worship is great. With no devoted time in the Word in our private life, our spiritual life is just a persona. For those who resonate with the crowded soil, there's no easy way to do it but to redo our schedule. Golfing and getting your nails done are all fun and all, and family is priority, so you definitely want to be there for your son's baseball game and your daughter's recital. But please make sure that Jesus is on the top of your list. We all need to spend time in the Word. As I've told you at the beginning of the sermon, for a very brief moment, I thought about doing the right thing on the bus that day. But my mind was so occupied with so much stuff that it's not the Word of God. How am I going to pull off my own wedding within just 2 days with so many missing pieces? I was not deeply rooted in the Word of God. Once triggered by George, I lost it. And not too long ago, I told my wife, Stephanie, "You know what? I think we both need to get up just half an hour early every morning. We need to spend time in the Word of God." Praying and reading on the bus is not working out so well for me. For all of us, the goal is to be the fruitful soil. Let me just leave you with these very words from Jesus. "Whoever has ears, let them hear." Let's pray. Oh Lord God, thank you for a precious word. Now help us receive it with gratitude. Cultivate us and so that we can bear fruit for your kingdom. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.